A light shines behind silver letters. RLJE Films. A black and white globe spins. A giant letter C surrounds it. Capstone Pictures. Stars reflect in a river surrounded by canyon walls. Hammerstone Studios. A ring surrounding a dark reflective sphere slows. Saturn Films.
They cannot stay. Give them away. They're all in your mind.
Words appear. Capstone Global presents. In a car, a hand opens a glove box and takes out photos of an ultrasound. A Hammerstone Studios production. A blonde boy looks up.
The first baby didn't make it.
No, you're right. Your sister didn't make it.
How come?
In association with Signature Films.
Well, your mom, she had some complications. How do you know about this stuff anyway?
Uncle Mike told me.
Uncle Mike. Yeah, well, listen, your mom's gonna be fine. And the baby's gonna be fine this time.
A film by Yuval Adler.
You ever tell your mom you know about this stuff?
The car turns onto a residential street. A blonde man with a beard looks at the boy.
No.
So maybe it's our little secret. That okay with you?
Shouldn't keep secrets, though.
Nicolas Cage.
I know, but every now and then, it's okay to have a secret. Like the fact that I let you sit up front.
Oh, yeah.
Joel Kinnaman.
Yeah, sometimes when we get some candy on the weekdays, that's a good secret,
too. Yep. Yeah. I love that secret.
Yeah.
Chocolate.
Secrets are good secrets.
Yeah.
The boy looks down at the ultrasound photos. On a porch, a woman with gray hair stands over the blonde boy and man. The man kisses the boy's head.
It's gonna be okay. Promise. Be a good boy.
They fist bump, high five, then fist bump again.
Better hurry, she's waiting for
you. I know.
The man stands and walks off. Cars travel along dimly lit roads and freeways. Red capital block letters appear. Sympathy for the Devil. A black sedan flies down a freeway interchange. Lightning strikes in the distance. Casting by Julie Goldman. Director of photography, Stephen Holleran. In the car.
Hey, man. Did you get my email about the schedule? Because nobody replied.
Yeah. No, everything's okay here, man. Go be with your wife.
Yeah, but Rich left me a message.
Let it go. I don't want to talk to you. Monday and I'll handle fucking Rich.
Alright, thanks.
You excited?
Excited.
Okay, alright. I'll talk to you later. Good luck.
Alright, later.
Wait. Is it a boy or girl? You never said.
We don't know. It's she wanted it to be, or we wanted it to be a surprise.
Well, I hope it looks more like her. Jeez, it looks more like her.
Yeah, me too.
Like dragons of disgust.
The black car passes under an illuminated City of Las Vegas sign. The blonde man looks at the fuel gauge. Less than one click from empty, he exhales and taps the steering wheel. Executive producers, Jason Soto, Tim Moore, Michael Pessel. The blonde man answers a call from SD Love.
Hey.
Hey, did you drop him at my mother's?
Yeah, he's fine. So, do you need anything from...
Hold on, the doctor just walked in.
Hello, Mrs. Chamberlain. All right, just relax your back. What's behind you there?
Right there.
Just the breasts.
You want your legs bent a little like this. Right, exactly.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I keep thinking it's not supposed to hurt this much. I don't remember it hurting this much. Oh.
Oh. Gonna grab the hand.
Hold on. I had complications the first time. Did they tell you that?
Yeah, I saw it in your chart. Just keep breathing.
Just
keep
breathing. Breathe, baby.
You want to brace yourself. Oh. Just like that.
David, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm almost there, babe, okay? I'm almost there.
Okay. I love you.
I love you, too.
The man looks at his phone.
People cry. Why can't they understand?
He lights a cigarette in his mouth. Produced by David Herring, Stuart Manischel. The man runs a red light.
The old man's back again.
Produced by Alex Lebovici. Produced by Alan Ungar.
I can see you back again.
The man pulls into an underground parking lot. An empty baby car seat sits behind him. Written by Luke Paradise. Directed by Yuval Adler. The man turns down a lane. A car blocks it. The man reverses as a car pulls up behind him. The man takes out his phone. He digs through a bag. He opens the door and stands.
You leaving?
Yeah, okay.
He gets back in his car and spots a man with red hair, wearing a red blazer, staring at him. The blonde man looks away and parks. He looks through the bag. The man in the red blazer gets in the back seat of the car, grinning.
Sir, what are you doing?
Pick a card.
Buddy, I'm not an Uber, okay?
The red-haired man pulls a gun.
Are you robbing me?
I didn't say I was robbing you. I said pick a card. Come on, a card, you know. Clubs.
The blonde man stares wide-eyed.
You want me to say a card?
Yes.
Ace.
Oh, ace. And the suit?
Spades.
The red-haired man pulls out an ace of spades.
I just knew you were going to say that card. Drive.
So my wife is in the hospital. She's about to give birth.
The red-haired man drinks from a flask.
Drive. Exit the hospital and then go right towards the strip because I like the lights.
I have an emergency, okay? It's a family emergency.
The red-haired man leans in, sweat dripping down his face.
I'm your family emergency now. Drive.
He leans back.
Drive where?
Jesus Christ!
He grabs a light toy from the window and throws it at the blonde man.
Drive!
The blonde man turns on the car and drives through the parking structure.
Where do you want me to go?
The red-haired passenger looks out the window at ambulances. He reaches his hand toward the blonde man and makes a fist. The blonde man furrows his brow. The passenger reaches into the shirt pocket of the blonde man. He ruffles through the blonde man's wallet and pulls out his ID, David. The passenger grabs the bag from the front seat. He pulls out a baby bottle. David shakes his head. The passenger stares out of the car window as they pass neon lights, casinos, and people on the sidewalks. David looks at his phone in the back seat. He stares at the passenger.
What the fuck are you looking at?
Hey, I really need to get back to the hospital.
Turn here. Here.
The car turns onto another road from the middle lane.
Listen, I just want to say that whatever it is that you want, it's yours. I mean it. To understand.
Now you're gonna talk about your family.
What?
You're gonna dive into the bit about your family, about how much you love them with all your heart and all your goddamn soul.
Yeah, I was.
Well, isn't that a bit of a cliche?
Passenger looks toward the bag. He holds up the phone.
You want me to take it?
He takes out the flask and takes a swig.
Before the interruption, you were about to start up with your phony family speech. About how if I were to shoot you through your stupid little earlobe right now, the bullet would, metaphorically speaking, tear through your wife and son as well.
Passenger looks at the fuel gauge. On empty.
Take this next exit.
Pull over.
Still got a few miles to go before we sleep.
The black sedan moves toward an exit. At a gas station, they get out. The passenger slides David a card.
Great night. Great fucking night. You're gonna have to watch the speeding when you get back up on the highway. The adrenaline. You know, back in South Boston, I once got 3 speeding tickets in 1 month. Wanna know why?
David spots a woman staring at them.
Stress. Fuck.
The passenger uses a card to wipe his heel. David mouths, "Help me."
$2,000 boots.
The woman stares.
You just watch the speed limit. Obey the traffic signals. Be all right.
The passenger looks around, then stares at David.
Sup?
on the fuel dispenser, 6 gallons. The passenger spots the woman staring at them and walks over. She closes the hood of her car and gets in. The passenger stares at David.
I don't blame you. Might be your one and only shot. But maybe I was following you. Maybe I know where you live. So you run for it. Now you've involved your family, too.
David puts the fuel nozzle back in the dispenser.
Relax, okay? I'm getting in the car.
The passenger approaches the front passenger door.
It's kind of impersonal, talking the back of your fucking skull.
They get in. The black sedan drives past hotels and casinos.
I think you made the wise decision back there. Move it very slowly into your glove compartment. About 2 months.
The passenger takes out the photos from the glove box.
Oh.
He flips through them.
Oh, 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 oh.
David watches him.
Somebody say sexy.
He looks at a photo of David and his wife at the beach. The car moseys into the oncoming lane. David careens the car back into the right lane. The passenger's mouth gapes.
Can you look at the road, please, when you're driving? Where you from, anyways?
From Tucson.
You ever been to Boston?
Yeah, been there once, years ago.
Not for nothing, but you remind me of this guy I used to know in Boston. And this guy used to drink a bottle of Glenlivet every night. Just kill the whole thing right before bed.
Well, I don't drink.
Anymore?
I haven't had a drink in years.
And that one time you were in Boston, was it business or pleasure?
It's business.
The passenger closes the glove box.
And what business are you in?
I work for a shipping company. Mostly warehouse work.
And you're sure that's the only time you've been to Boston?
Yeah.
And you stopped drinking when? 15 years ago?
I don't remember. But... yeah, something like that.
See, that's funny. You making an error like that this early in the evening, that's really not like you.
What?
The passenger takes a swig from the flask.
Is it okay if I ask a question?
Why wouldn't it be okay?
How long is this gonna take? Like, when will I be back home?
Why would you assume you'll ever go home again?
What?
Did you not just hear me?
Yeah,
All right, this whole trip won't take more than an hour. We're going to Boulder City.
Okay. I can do that.
Oh, thank you. Well, that's very thoughtful of you, really. My mother, she's dying of cancer, the lung variety. She's a devout Catholic, so we gotta do last rites, get...
Your mother's at the hospital.
Don't interrupt me. That's rude. You interrupting me. Don't.
My mom was also religious.
The passenger stares at David.
Didn't stop her from marrying my dad, who liked to get drunk and beat the living shit out of her.
Just my opinion. That plea for sympathy is very beneath you. So anyway, back to my story. You take me to the hospital, the Boulder City Hospital.
Don't you have a car?
They stare at each other.
You fucking prick.
The passenger reaches in the back and grabs the phone.
What is this SD love? What are you, a teenager?
My son did that. It's our initials, me and my wife.
Oh, isn't that sweet? You want me to take it? D?
Yeah.
David, where are you?
I'm sorry, babe. I'm trying. I'm almost there.
Oh. You said you were here? Why are you like this? You're never late.
I love you so much, baby.
It's normal.
I'm almost there.
You said you'll be here.
I will. Doing everything I can.
What's wrong?
The passenger smiles.
What is that? Who's with you?
Nobody, honey. It's the window open.
It's okay.
Chamberlain, I need you to put the phone down.
Doctor, why is it taking so long? When we lost our purse, it also took so long.
Mom, look at me.
Tell him, honey. David, tell him what happened.
David hits the roof.
Where the fuck are we going?
The passenger shoves the gun in his face.
For the devil may start to envy those who suffer too deeply and throw them out into heaven.
David furrows his brow and stares at the passenger. Red light reflects off the car. The passenger stares out of the car window, smiling. David stares at the open road ahead. He slowly presses on the throttle. The mile per hour gauge creeps past 60. He passes a cop. David looks in the rearview mirror. The cop pulls out.
So when we get to Boulder City, I drop you off.
Right.
Red and blue lights shine behind them.
I drop you off. You let me go.
I let you go.
Okay.
The passenger looks at the cop.
Well, now you're fucking gone and done it.
Stop.
Would you calm down?
The passenger looks back at the cop.
Stopping.
They glance at each other.
Stopping.
Turn here.
The car turns onto another road and pulls over.
As I said, all I need is for you to take me to my mother, so there's no reason for anything horrible to befall anyone tonight. But if you so much as look at this cop weird, I will shoot you so fast in the back of your goddamn skull, cranial matter will splatter all over this cop's breast uniform, and it will be disgusting. Not a good time.
The cop pushes down on the back of the car. He approaches the closed driver window.
License and registration, please.
Right, one second.
May I ask why we're being pulled over? Sure, you can ask. License and registration. Asking permission to ask the question, isn't that the same as asking the question? You're going 11 over the speed limit. Well, wait, what about the, what do you call it? The flow, right? The flow of traffic? License and registration. I'm not asking again. Well, if all the other cars are going 10 miles over, you gotta do the same, right? To ensure you don't cause a traffic hazard.
One second, my license.
Just shush, I'm just asking a question. What's wrong with that? Sir, one more question and you're gonna have some trouble. Oh, no, not trouble. Please, Mr. Big Policeman, anything but trouble.
No, wait. It's okay. I just...
But isn't that a thing, though? The flow. Isn't that a real thing? Sir, step out of the car. Out of the car. Out of the car? Are you fucking crazy? All I did was ask a simple question, and now this big cop is telling me to get out of the car. You're under arrest.
The cop pulls his gun.
Sir, step out of the vehicle, now.
Just do what he says,
no.
Okay?
No, he's too rude. He's way too fucking rude. Now, well, out. I'm not gonna reward that type of behavior. Out of the vehicle, now. Or what? Really? You're gonna shoot me, man, for not getting out of the car? You're gonna shoot me in front of my friend here?
We're not friends.
Out of the fucking car. Because this is Officer Cork is getting out. Control 1, Nora 61. Get behind Control. Me, Satan.
What?
A bullet fires from the passenger's blazer pocket and strikes the cop. The passenger takes the car keys and steps out. He pulls out his revolver and looks at the cop. He puts the revolver back in his blazer pocket and pulls a pistol from his belt. He shoots the cop's head. Blood and flesh stain the asphalt. The passenger looks at David. David stares. The passenger takes handcuffs from the cop's waistband and gets in the back seat of the car. He lights a cigarette.
I told you not to speed. I even warned you once. No, twice. I warned you about the speed and you wouldn't listen.
You warned me?
I told you a couple of times.
You've warned You warned me not to speed.
Why are you being such a cock about it?
Jesus Christ.
What's past is past, I always say, although others say past is prologue, which is really just saying the same thing from a different perspective. But point is, move on. Here. Go back to Galleria.
He's just doing his job.
He was an authoritarian little prick.
It was just a guy doing his job. He just killed him.
Would you just shut up and drive?
He could have had a family, wife and kids.
Shut up and drive.
You could have just destroyed a whole fucking family.
I destroyed a family. I destroyed a family! I did! Drive!
No.
The passenger raises the gun to David. David shakes. David covers his ears.
The next one goes to your face. Drive.
David stares at him. The passenger leans back. They peel away.
What have I now?
The black sedan cruises down the road.
Out your love. Just days of lonely misery. Nights with the same old memory. A heart that cries constantly. That's all I have.
Such bravado. How did that happen? You going from being such a whiny little piece of shit to someone who could headbutt a horse.
But sit in my cold, lonely room, surrounded by four walls of gloom. It seems that my soul is doomed, cause I'm all through without you.
My mother, the hospital. Didn't I already tell you this?
It's bullshit. Just tell me. Just tell me.
The plain and simple truth? Is that what you want? Although the truth is rarely plain and never simple. You remember who said that one? D? It's too early. Spoil everything. Me telling you now.
The passenger tosses his cigarette and rolls up the window.
Pull over next exit. I'm famished.
David glares back.
You got a problem with that?
David scans the desolate road.
I can hear you.
What?
Thinking.
What are you talking about?
You're working it out.
Just driving.
Now you're thinking about crashing into something.
The passenger unbuckles David's seatbelt.
You gotta be real careful blowing trauma to the head. Man your age.
He opens the door and rolls out. The passenger climbs to the front of the car and reaches for the brake pedal. The car careens toward a dirt embankment. The car stops just before it. David hides beneath an embankment. The passenger gets out of the car.
I think you broke my beautiful nose, fucker!
David peers out. The passenger adjusts his jacket and hair.
Hello? Oh, hi. No, he's on the other line right now. Who, me? I work at the gift shop at the hospital. Yeah. No, he had to take a call from the warehouse, so he's using my landline. Better reception. But I am glad you called, because he wanted me to ask you what room number you're in. Okay,
David furrows his brow.
Sorry to hear that. That does sound painful. If it's any consolation, when my wife was pregnant and delivering, there was so much pressure on her bladder. I mean, it was bitching. It was a golden shower explosion cascading all over the doctor's face. It was sexual, man. Hey, come on. Screw you too, lady.
David stands and walks toward the passenger.
Huh? You like that?
The passenger points at his bloody nose.
A little sexy? Dressed up for this night. Now you break my nose? I wanted to be 100% sex tonight, and you cut that in half. I'm now 50% sex. Look, see that? I'm Edward G., see? I'm Edward G. Robinson. You can't kill me, see? Yeah?
David ambles over.
Come on, sugar. Come on, let's go.
The passenger punches David.
Don't fucking do that again.
He picks David up.
Is she okay? Just tell me she's okay.
She's fine. You think she's the first woman ever to go into labor?
In the past. Please, I need to be there.
Drive!
He shoves David toward the car. David holds on to the door pillar and turns violently. His shoulder pops.
Wow. David Chamberlain, you stud muffin. I wonder how many blue-collar losers know how to do that.
David and the passenger enter the car. The black sedan travels slowly down a four-lane road.
Well, she sounded real nice. I mean, she was a bit confused, suspicious even, but nice.
She never told you the room number.
She wanted to know why you weren't at the hospital yet. She did seem very concerned about that.
You don't even know the floor.
Wow, a new baby. Gosh, a brand new baby. How exciting. I mean, are you happy? Objectively speaking, would you say you and your wife have a happy marriage?
Happy?
Yeah.
Objectively? Yeah, we're happy. Sometimes we feel like we're the only happy people we know.
I've never been happy. You know why?
sinuses. Ever since I was a small child, I've had a stuffy nose. And even at the tender age of 2 years old, I knew the cause of my stuffy nose. I could see it in my dreams. And the cause was the mucus man. And the mucus man was a skinny guy in a suit and tie with a bald head and a briefcase full of boogers. And I could see him in my mind's eye going up, up, up in an elevator, briefcase in hand. And he glided across the floor, almost like a snail's trail. And he got to my bed and he opened the briefcase and he scooped out a handful of boogers and he sprinkled them into my nose.
David raises his brow. The passenger looks out of the window at a diner.
Roadhouse Diner.
David turns around and pulls into a parking lot of Roadhouse Diner. The passenger hands David a towel.
Clean up.
David stares at it. The passenger hits him with it. David takes it and wipes the side of his head. David and the passenger exit the car and head into the diner. David sits at a booth. The passenger stares at a patron in a trucker cap.
Faggot.
The passenger smiles and looks around the diner. Then takes a seat.
All right, now listen. There's a certain man, a very, very important man, who is waiting for our arrival still. Well, rather not for us as much as you. He's waiting for you. His associates were the ones who found you in the first place.
Except they found the wrong guy.
Now, the initial plan was to drive you all the way to Boston. But this old fucking Nick, he was too antsy. He couldn't wait. He was like a child on Christmas Eve. So he flew out tonight to this private airstrip in Boulder City, and that's where we're going. I hope that answers some of your questions.
He takes out a menu. On it.
No substitutions.
David stares off.
You believe this shit? Does that look right to you? Hey, you're not listening to me. Okay, I'm gonna tell you a story. And you better listen. Once upon a time, many, many years ago, there was a bookkeeper from Brooklyn who was living in South Boston. And the bookkeeper was working for a hard-drinking Mick Catholic named Jacob Sullivan.
Who's waiting for me? Yeah?
So the bookkeeper meets a nice Bostonian gal, falls in love, gets married, has a baby. Cute little girl.
He looks at the waitress standing by the kitchen.
Okay, when this waitress asks you what happened to your face, I want you to tell her you fell down the stairs.
You want me to say
I fell down the stairs. Say it. Try it out. I fell down the stairs.
I fell down the stairs.
That's right. You fell down the stairs, you stupid, clumsy shit.
The waitress approaches.
I fell down the stairs.
You fell down the stairs.
He fell down the stairs, but then what happened to you?
I was at the bottom of the stairs when he fell.
Well, good evening, then. Or is it morning? I'm never sure what to say during this witching hour.
Huh. Coffee, black.
And for you?
What?
For you?
The same.
And just so you know, the special today or tonight... The special this morning is open-faced tuna melts. That's going to be two pieces of rye, mayonnaise, tuna, a slice of tomato in each, and melted mozzarella on top.
Oh, what happens if I want cheddar instead?
The waitress points to no substitutions.
Owner's rules. Who happens to be the cook? Who happens to be back in the kitchen right now?
No shit. So he is serious about this no substitutions business. That's a real thing.
Mm-hmm. But, maybe I'll slice you a block of cheddar under the table.
That's very sweet of you.
I will get those coffees.
All right, back to our story. So what happens is this. The bookkeeper's 9 to 5 back then was doing the books for one of Sullivan's associates. But the associate gets a little too fucking smart and starts skimming money on the side. So when Jacob Sullivan finds out, he tells the bookkeeper to invite the associate over because two of them were good friends. So the bookkeeper's wife and daughter visit her mother, and the associate comes over. They have some drinks, have some cigars, and once he's good and sloshed, a few of Sullivan's guys pay a little visit. One of them puts a .45 to the back of his skull, pulls the trigger. And the same thing's gonna happen to you when we get to Boulder City. Hi, okay.
The waitress sets down two mugs.
Open-faced tuna melt from me. Swap the mozzarella for cheddar if you can slip that past your goddamn creep of a boss.
For you.
Nothing.
No, order something.
I'm not hungry.
I want you to order something.
I'm not hungry.
What do you mean you're not hungry?
I mean I'm not hungry.
Then get something for the road.
I'm not hungry.
Order something, you stupid fuck.
Tuna melt.
You want cheddar on that or mozzarella?
What?
Cheddar or mozzarella? Cheddar or mozzarella? You gotta pick one.
Cheddar.
The waitress walks off. The passenger sets down 4 sweetener packets.
Okay. I've been thinking about what you've given me so far. This pathetic and phony biography of yours designed to garner sympathy. In my experience, most people tend to think having a family makes them more sympathetic. Before anyone takes a bullet to the head, they're always prattling on about their fucking daughter this, their fucking son that, but the fact that you would do that strikes me as tongue deaf. Usually I wait for the sun to go down before I start drinking, but today I've been drinking all day. Ask me why. Ask me why I've been drinking all day. Ask me.
David sighs and stares.
You know, I do think about the way your life has gone. How happy you are. And you've got the secret fucking happiness. New wife, new son, eternal goddamn love. Please, please, who do you think I am? Who?
The passenger's smile tightens. His eyebrows raise. David furrows his brow.
You're the witching hour. The waitress, she mentioned that earlier. Do you know what that is? It's European folklore, noting a particular time of night when all the supernatural creatures slither out and run amok. And I always like that. I like the idea of crazy.
No idea.
Do not fucking interrupt me. God damn it! I told you that in the car! You're always running off at the mouth. You got a motor mouth. There's a motorboat stuck in your mouth. Just shut up!
Sit the fuck back down!
The patron in the trucker cap sits. The passenger punches David and slams his head into the table. He whips out handcuffs and locks his arm to the diner table. He pulls his pistol and walks to the patron in the trucker cap.
I'm watching you.
Okay, one point, I'm gonna shoot you. Do you understand?
Yeah.
The passenger takes the man's phone and walks to the kitchen. He spots the waitress and chef. He pulls the landline off the wall.
Okay, give me your cell phones.
The waitress and the chef hand the passenger their phones. He tosses them in the fryer.
Now, if it's not too much trouble, I would appreciate if you could stand behind the camera where I can see it. And I don't need to go into the whole spiel as to what this gun does to the face if you try anything smart, right? Okay, how much longer do we have on those tuna melts?
Just a few minutes.
Okay, I want them done in 5 minutes. Come on. Actually, no, 4 minutes, and we want cheddar on them. You got that cheddar? Nobody puts mozzarella on a tuna melt.
The passenger takes the waitress's hand. They walk out of the kitchen. The passenger looks at a jukebox and presses K24.
Look at the draw.
David struggles with the handcuffs.
Please don't talk about love tonight. Please don't talk about sweet love.
The patron, waitress, and David stare at the passenger.
All the trouble we've been through.
The passenger shimmies over to the patron. The passenger puts his hands above his head and thrusts his hips at the patron.
I want to go where the people dance. I want some action.
He dances over to David.
Action. I want to give it.
And sits down.
I have decided that we should play a little game. It's called Stop the Phony.
Let's just go and leave everyone else out of this.
I want you to tell me the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, this very minute, right now. If you don't tell me the truth, I am gonna kill your little waitress friend. I am going to kill Mr. Happy Trucker over there, and anyone else unfortunate enough to enter this establishment.
He pulls out a rabbit's foot.
Ready? Magic rabbit foot says go. Tick, 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 tick.
The truth.
Yes, the truth, the truth. You fucking phony, the truth.
The truth is I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, 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 don't do this. This is where the game gets good. Hey, don't ruin it.
I never got your name.
Oh.
Let's just get out of here, just you and me.
Oh, you sound kind of cool there. Oh, my God, so cool. Almost like you've had a gun on you before.
The passenger takes out David's phone.
Well, let's just make sure everything's okay.
Honey, I'm... She's a doctor's problem.
Yeah, sure, probably. But then again, maybe not. Maybe something did happen. People always say, don't assume the worst. Why? Sometimes the worst is exactly what you should assume.
A young woman with a little girl enters the diner.
Oh, shit. It's getting good. You know, the waitress is going to be back any second. Tuna melts cook fast. You just throw everything under the heat lamp. So I'm going to ask you one final time.
veterans.
I'm telling you, you got me confused with
You're
someone
telling
else.
Me.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Stop the phony, stop the phony. Tick,
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know
what to
say.
The truth, that's it. Just the truth. Tick, tick, tick.
You think I'm someone that I'm not.
And why, may I ask, would you think that I think you're someone you're actually not? Tick, 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 tick.
What?
Did you not just fucking hear me right then?
Yeah, I did.
Well, then would you do me a favor? Would you please stop saying what? When it's absolutely crystal fucking clear what I just said? Tick, 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 tick. Okay, you know what? You should prepare yourself mindset-wise. That way it won't be such a shock when it happens. Assume the worst.
He winks at David.
Is what I mean.
Just tell me what you want me to say. Just tell me.
Oh, my God. You're not changing your tactics. Not even a little. It's fucking mental. You're awesome, buddy.
I'm not who you think I am.
But I've never even told you who I think you are, so how could you know you're not who I think you are? Tick, 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 tick.
I'll say whatever you want.
Okay, you know what? Time's up. You really just unequivocally fucked up right now. You
David headbutts the passenger. The waitress drops the tuna melts. The patron in the trucker cap bolts. The passenger aims at him. David shoves his arm. A sugar container shatters in front of the patron. The passenger aims. A food basket explodes. The passenger punches David. The patron stumbles. The passenger stands. The patron heads for the door. The passenger fires at him. The patron collapses. The passenger grabs the rabbit's foot and walks over to the patron. He steps on the patron's neck. Blood pools in his mouth. Passenger reloads his pistol. David looks at the young woman and little girl. They hold each other.
Run.
The passenger presses harder on the patron's neck. He goes limp. The passenger walks over to the woman and girl. Stares at David and aims at them. David shifts. The passenger shoves the gun closer. David shakes.
Okay, okay! It's me. I'm exactly who you think.
Passenger smiles and storms over. He shoves David to the floor.
You? It's you. It's fucking you.
He punches David repeatedly.
It's fucking you! It's you! It's you! It's you! It's you! It's you! James. You did this.
James's face lies bloody. The passenger walks to the back of the diner. The woman and girl run out. Passenger walks through the kitchen. In an alley, the chef runs toward trucks. He falls. The passenger lowers his gun. In the diner, James wrestles with the handcuffs. The passenger walks through a bathroom. He stops at a stall. Through a crack, The waitress sits on a toilet fully clothed. The passenger slams the door open and aims his gun at the waitress. At the table, James kicks the support. He spots his phone and shuffles toward it. In the bathroom.
You said that thing about slipping me a block of cheddar cheese under the table. Was that sarcasm? Were you being rude? Were you being nice?
The passenger's brow furrows. He lowers his gun and walks out. At the table, James's foot brushes against his phone. He pins it and slides it toward himself. He dials.
He's killing people. He shot people.
The passenger turns knobs on the stovetops. He takes out a cigarette.
Sir, where are you located?
Well, it's the diner. Roadhouse Diner.
The passenger ignites a match and brings it to his cigarette. He throws it on the stovetops. James sets down his phone and kicks the table support. In the kitchen, the passenger takes a bottle of rum and throws it at the stove. Flames erupt. At the table, James kicks. In the kitchen, the passenger watches the flames. At the table, the support breaks. James removes the handcuffs from the support. The passenger walks in.
James! Better to rain in hell, wouldn't you agree?
James stands and sprints. The passenger shoots him. James makes it through the doors. The passenger removes his cigarette from his mouth and spots an alcohol shelf. Outside, James runs to a silver sedan and sits down behind it. He undoes his belt and wraps it around his bloody leg. James clasps the other handcuff to his arm.
Hey!
The passenger lights a Molotov cocktail.
James! Great night! Great fucking night!
He throws the Molotov at a sedan.
Fuck.
I've been watching for a while now, James. Watching and waiting.
James runs behind a semi-truck.
You, wife, little boy.
The passenger throws a Molotov into the silver sedan.
I need you to wake up now.
He holds a lit Molotov. James creeps behind the trailer.
It's time for you to wake up, asshole. Gotta wake up.
The passenger throws the Molotov at an RV.
You know who I am. You know where I've been.
James stands up straight and looks around. The passenger dials. James takes out his phone.
Pick up the phone, James.
I know you looped back around. I heard the phone ringing. Did you pick up?
What are you, ghosting me? What are you, Dr. Ross, my psychiatrist?
All right, well, I'm going to finish the bookkeeper's story. And this next part, I just know you're going to love. Because it directly concerns you.
James moves behind a trailer.
So everything goes according to plan.
The passenger looks under trailers.
Bookkeeper invites the associate over. Sullivan's guys shoot him in the head. Except for one very minor hitch, see?
James climbs onto a fifth wheel.
The very minor hitch being that the bookkeeper's wife steps through the door and witnesses the execution. So one problem begets additional problems, right?
James climbs off the fifth wheel and crouches behind the other side of the trailer.
The bookkeeper's wife begins to unravel. She starts drinking. She starts taking pills.
The passenger looks at the fifth wheel, then continues forward.
She starts telling the story to anyone who'll listen. My wife, James, she's become a liability.
The passenger opens the semi-truck's door and slams it shut.
And that's when I got a call from James Levine.
James crouches underneath the trailer. He crawls on all fours. Hand touches his back. James turns and sees the chef. James shuffles underneath another trailer. The chef looks up. The passenger aims his gun at him. He looks around, wide-eyed. James tackles the passenger. They stand. James throws him against the side of a trailer and punches him. He latches on to the passenger's back. The passenger kicks off the side of the trailer and slams James into another trailer. James shoves him off and blocks a punch. He spins the passenger against the trailer and punches him repeatedly. They grapple. The passenger headbutts James. James knees him in the crotch and throws him to the ground. He strikes the passenger.
8th floor. Lemon delivery. Room 829.
The passenger pistol whips James and scoots against the trailer. The passenger aims his gun at James.
As I was saying, your wife's at labor and delivery on the 8th floor, room 829. Now, I don't kill mothers as a rule, unlike some people I know. But I swear to God, James, if you don't stop acting like this phony little bitch, I'll break my own leg just this one time.
Okay.
For you.
I'll do whatever you want. Just tell me what you want me to do, I'll do it.
You get back in your car right now, and I promise we'll stay away from your wife.
You, your associates, whatever, you stay the fuck away from my family.
You have my word.
James nods. The passenger stands. James stands. They limp away from the trailers. Black sedan cruises down an empty road. Lightning strikes in the distance. In the car, a flame lights James's cigarette. The passenger lights his own cigarette.
From James Levine. And Levine is someone who fixes things, whatever it is. And I know if I'm getting a call from him out of the blue, it is not a small thing. He tells me what I already know, that my wife has become a liability, that Jacob Sullivan himself needs me to get control of my wife, that she could be the string that unravels it all.
What happened?
I tell Levine I'll take care of it. But knowing the sort of man Levine is, I decide my only choice is to get my family out of Boston for good. So I leave the house quickly to get some supplies for the road, and when I come back,
a smile forms on his face.
Back then, we had these white rabbits as pets. And they had babies, so we had a good-sized litter. And my daughter, she liked to play with the babies. She was so cute. She'd rub her little face in their soft white fur. And when I come back, the entire house was up in flames. It was glowing all Halloween orange, like a jack-o'-lantern. My wife and daughter inside, but it was the rabbits, James. Yeah, remember? Did you hear the rabbits screaming, shrieking?
Tears fill James's eyes. He glares down the road.
That I am David Chamberlain.
You are so fucked in the head, James! You're so fucked in the head, you actually believe you're David Chamberlain!
Think about lung cancer. They're dying, right? We're all dying. So this was always the end for you two.
Fucking cops.
The passenger turns and looks out the rear window.
You know, the Japanese say the more violent the death, the higher to heaven you go. All right. Okay. Let's do this. Wait. I need to know. Why? Just kill me the second you stepped into my car.
The passenger puts the gun to James's chin.
Why? Let me breathe another second. Because I wanted to hear you say it out loud. Words.
What words?
And I wanted to see your face. Your true face. Your lizard face. When you awoke.
What words? I'll say it right now.
Solomon, you told me. Solomon, you ordered the hit.
James flicks his cigarette at the passenger. James careens toward a barricade. A bullet strikes the driver's window. The car tumbles down a hill and slides on its roof. To black. The moon shines through clouds. The passenger side door is open. The passenger lies on his back on the ground with his legs inside the car. He looks at two police officers exiting their cruisers. The officers collapse. James walks up to the passenger and looms over him, holding the gun. He looks up and darts his eyes. He wipes his bloody hand through his hair. He steps on the passenger's neck. He steps off.
I need you to know.
He crouches by the passenger.
I never meant to kill you, little girl. Your wife, when she saw my face, she just went crazy. She just jumped on me, started clawing my face off. I pulled the trigger 3 times.
Tear falls down the side of the passenger's face.
I was
to death when God brought Maggie into my life. And I knew God was evening the score when our firstborn died. But still, every night I'd see their faces. Your wife and your daughter. I couldn't stop seeing them. God gave me my little baby boy. It was like he was giving me a new life. He was giving me back your daughter's life. He was giving me back your daughter's life, the life that I wrongly took.
James wipes his nose and slumps.
I think you gave me closure tonight. I wish I could have done the same for you.
The passenger shakes his head. Blood streams from his mouth. James mounts him and presses his arm against the passenger's neck. Passenger's eyes shut. James gets off of him and sits against the car. He wipes off the passenger's pistol and sets it in his hand. He spots the Ace of Spades card in the car and grabs it. He puts it in his shirt pocket. James takes out his phone. James wraps his arms around his knees.
David Chamberlain. David Chamberlain.
James rocks back and forth.
Help!
James stands and raises his hand.
Help!
James holds his hand up as officers approach.
Help!
right there. Don't move.
Put your hands up.
Leave them behind.
Cut to black. Previous credits. Production designer, Burns Burns. Edited by, Alan Cannon. Costume designer, Ermelinda Manos. Music by, Ashai Adar. Co-producer, Aaron Collins. Co-producer, David Hillary. Executive producers, Mark Goldberg, David Sullivan, Sarah Gabriel. Executive producers, Courtney Chen, Luke Paradise, Peter Jackal. Executive producers, Christian Mercury, Roman Viaris, Yuval Adler. Produced by Nicolas Cage. Audio description written by Kyle Snyder. Narrated by Matt Levy. Described by AudioWise. Credits appear. Directed by Yuval Adler. Written by Luke Paradise. Produced by Alan Ungar. Produced by Alex Lebovici. Produced by David Herring, Stuart Maneschil. Produced by Nicolas Cage. Executive producers, Christian Mercury, Roman Viaris, Yuval Adler. Executive producers, Courtney Chen, Luke Paradise, Peter Jackal. Executive producers, Mark Goldberg, David Sullivan, Sarah Gabriel. Executive producers, Jason Soto, Tim Moore, Michael Pessel. Co-producer, Aaron Collins. Co-producer, David Hillary. Music by Ashai Adar. Director of photography, Stephen Holleran. Production designer, Burns Burns. Costume designer, Ermelinda Manos. Edited by Alan Cannon. Casting by Julie Goldman, Nicolas Cage, Joel Kinnaman, Sympathy for the Devil. Credits continue. Capstone Global presents a Hammerstone Studios production in association with Signature Films, a film by Yuval Adler. Credits scroll. Co-executive producers, Jill Young, Waylon Lin. Line producer, Aaron Collins. Cast, The Passenger, Nicolas Cage, The Driver, Joel Kinnaman, Waitress, Alexis Zollicoffer, Cop, Cameron Lee Price, Boy, Oliver McCallum, Owner, Burns Burns, Trucker, Rich Hopkins, Grandmother, Nancy Good, Colleague, Kaiwi Lyman Mercero, Stunt Coordinator, Danny Wayne, Sound Mixer, Rob Filios, Boom Operator, Troy Lynch, Music Editor, Ryan Castle, Audio Post-Production and Color Grading by Anarchy Post, Re-Recording Mixer, Sean Higgins, Sound Designer, TJ Jacques, Sound Supervisor, Dan Snow, Dialogue Editor, Sean Higgins, Foley Mixer, Ryan McGuire, Foley Artist, Tara Bloom, Copyright 2023, Sympathy FTD, LLC, All Rights Reserved.